Zach Jackson of The Athletic talking a little bit with me today on The Barbershop. Zach, how's it going today, brother?
It's pretty good. The sun's peeking out, and there's no football work for me till Monday, so I got no complaints.
All right, man. Let's get right into it. Browns coming up game against the Giants. Hugh Jackson, everything that's on everyone's mind is, you know, how is this rep split out? What's going on with Brock Osweiler and Deshaun Kizer and him making steps and moving towards the next progression of him possibly competing for the starting job? From looking at, you know, the Browns this week, where do you see the progression of Deshaun Kizer? I heard mixed results. Some people on Twitter I read, you know, he may have taken a step backwards. And then some people I read are saying that, you know, he's right on in target of possibly competing for the starting job at the beginning of the season. Where are he and Brock Osweiler right now?
Well, there's a lot to like about Deshaun Kizer. And I think there's a lot of reasons to think that he can eventually be really good. Where he is right now, I think Hugh Jackson, not Zach Jackson, has to answer that. I think Deshaun Kizer has to answer that. And I would say I'm not sure I would want to be in their shoes answering that, because I do believe there's risk in playing guys too early and putting them in spots. We know who the Browns play the first 2 weeks of the season. We know who the Browns play the first month of the season. To me, you know, you see good throws. You still don't see a bunch of them in a row. But you listen, and he says, I'm still learning, I'm still growing. So I lean on the side of I'm okay being patient. But I also think he's the best quarterback for the Browns right now, so I understand the catch-22 of that. So that's not a direct answer, Garrett, but I truly believe that's where it is. Deshaun Kizer is going to be the quarterback of the Browns probably sooner than later. But I do believe it's a real worry about what might happen if you go too soon.
Talking to Zach Jackson of The Athletic, talking about the Browns preseason game against the Giants. We look at from the Browns' perspective. What are your thoughts on the Giants particularly? How many of their starters do you believe will play? And so, do you feel that Deshaun Kizer will get a look against some of the ones and twos that the Giants, depending on how much they play during the game?
Yeah, I think more the twos. I think Brock will go three or four series, just like last game. You know, you never know how these are going to go. Ideally, you'd like to have a long drive and have it end in points and get 8, 10, 12 plays of work. Unfortunately, sometimes you go three and out, or you get the ball in a tough spot based on something that happens, and you don't get a good look. So I think Kizer will play late in the first half. It'll probably be mostly against twos. But, yeah, I think the Giants are going to play everybody that's healthy, and I think it's really alarming that they have a pretty good defense, and the Browns are going to have a left tackle who's a rookie who hasn't played any with the ones in practice, not have their regular left guard in the game. So that could be a little ugly there, but this is really just about getting quality reps, full-speed reps against a good defense. The Giants provide a great test in that. I think their offense and their passing game will provide a nice test for the back seven of the Browns' defense. And then ideally, like I said, depending on circumstances, you'd like to get the ball with about 2:30 left in the second quarter and bring in Kizer and see if he can't put together a drive working the clock using the timeouts and have it end in points.
Talking to Zach Jackson of The Athletic. Zach, you segue perfectly into what I wanted to talk about next. Which position group should I be more worried about? Should it be the offensive line? We have Batonio going down. You have Cam Irving going down. In the case of Cam Irving, he wasn't playing that well originally, but I understand that when you're talking about linemen, you need depth and the receiving core. Is it just me, or I just don't see anything in the receiving core? I haven't seen anything.
It's not just you, GB. It's not just you. So, yeah, I mean, from which should you be more worried about? Well, if the offensive line's whole and they got time to have their timing down, the way they've been paid and the experience they have, I mean, that should end up being the strength of the team. But when you have guys down, specifically Batonio, and you're going to miss valuable reps and you have a right tackle that's never started a game, there is question there. But the bigger overall questions are with the receiving core. I think a real positive is over the last 8-10 days, you've seen Corey Coleman. I don't want to say turn a corner, okay, or maybe not turn the ultimate corner, but I think you've seen him step up. And we'll see. You know, I think the passing game is hurt by the constant change at the quarterback. There's no way around that. It's not scientific thought. Just think, until guys get a chance to get rhythm and a certain quarterback knows where a certain receiver might be or what kind of pass he likes to catch on 3rd and 4 or 3rd and 6, you're hurting yourself in that way. So I've believed since the spring that the most likely position to be upgraded by trade or waiver wire in late August, early September is wide receiver, and here we are. So 2 weeks from today is the cut down to 53. So 2 weeks from tomorrow is the initial waiver wire bonanza, and we see what happens from there.
Hey, we're talking to Zach Jackson of The Athletic. I think this is going to be, for me, I kind of envision a sort of free-for-all that puts a little bit of energy in the cutting process. Now that the cuts are taking place all at once, like I think, doesn't that have to give you some excitement level of anticipating? There's going to be a lot of guys that got cut, and there are a lot of guys that are going to be available that could potentially help a team during the year. How are Sashi and Hugh Jackson? How are they approaching that?
Well, I would temper the word excitement with the fact that you're getting guys that you need that got cut by some other team because the guys you currently had weren't good enough. Mm-hmm. But you're right. It's going to be wild. Now, I would say there probably weren't a lot of times where a first cut guy really was going to help you. Maybe in an emergency situation, we wanted to look at a guy, or we lost two offensive tackles or two tight ends or whoever it was in a temporary situation. I'd be more excited, GB, if it's a trade for a guy that could come, that's played and could come in and help you. That's not to say that waiver wire guys can't. Mm-hmm. And the Browns sitting atop the waiver wire can get whoever they want. But the problem with that is you're claiming these guys on either Sunday or Monday, and the next Sunday you have a game. So you have gone since May, April really, with conditioning with your group. You cut that group from 90 to 53, and then you bring in guys that haven't been there, and you're asking them to be there. So last year the Browns claimed 5 guys. Mm-hmm. In that time. 3 of them are still with the team. 1 is Breon Body Calhoun, who I think has a chance to play his way into the team's plans for the next 2, 3, 4 years. But the odds of really getting more than one of those are pretty slim. And like I said, even if you're tempted to take like 8 or 9 guys, there's risk in that. You have to really think twice about that, because you have to have 46 active guys for that first game against the Steelers. And if you have guys that have never been in your building until 5 or 6 days before, there's big risk in that.
That is a tough jump. That is, you're talking about getting guys acclimated, bringing them in, getting up to speed with the playbook, whatever you're trying to do. You know good and well they're not going to be responsible for everything that other people have been there since May. So that is a very steep learning curve. Talking to Zach Jackson of The Athletic, talking about previewing the Browns' upcoming second preseason game against the New York Giants. When you look at the Giants, and I heard a stat somewhere earlier this week saying that Eli Manning has never missed a snap. He's never missed a snap for the Browns. And we know how well documented the 2018 to 20 quarterbacks of the Browns have started since 1999. And looking at this position, would you talk me off a limb if I just said, I really don't care which one of these people played, as long as they can play 16 games. I'm just clamoring for somebody to play 16 games. At this point, just to show what you can do with cohesive body of work.
Well, it's 18 quarterbacks since 07 when Joe Thomas got here. It's 26 since 99.
Oh, it's even worse. It's even worse than I thought.
Yeah, but you know what, Garrett? That means you got the one, probably, or at least you'd like to think that that's what that means. And so, yes, that would be great. But what I'm saying is there's more reason than just a guy got injured, right?
Right.
A freak injury like Josh McCown trying to fly through the air or something like that. you know, you'd like to have that guy. And the year that they thought Tim Couch was that guy, he wasn't healthy to start the opener. Then he played really well, then he broke his leg. In the last game, Kelly Holcomb came in, played great in the playoffs, and the Browns melted in the fourth quarter. So, yeah, I mean, that's the correlation, or that's the common thread that the successful franchises have. They know who their guy is. They keep him healthy. They surround him with talent, and they go forward. The Giants have won two Super Bowls in that span. They've also had some really crappy years. But the one constant and the reason they always think they can get back is that they know he's going to be in there, right? So, I mean, it's the Browns just have to find that guy. And I do believe that there's a chance that it's Kizer. But we've done this dance before, and we don't have any idea how ready he is to play a first game, let alone how ready he is to be that guy that finally breaks the streak of all these other ones.
Zach, I appreciate your time, man. Let us know where they can find you and what you got coming up.
The Athletic, CLE, on Twitter. Just go to theathletic.com. We got a special now. You can subscribe for the whole year for the cost of $3.99 a month. Or just download the app. Check it out. It's slick. You get 5 free articles a month on the app, and we're pretty confident you'll subscribe once you're on board there.
All right, man. That's Zach Jackson. Thanks. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
All right. That was Zach Jackson of The Athletic. 216-578-0092 at GBush91 on Twitter.